This is the web stream of KBOO Portland. KBOO is 100% community supported. If you have not yet become a member, go to the website kboo.fm and click on the tip jar.
Louisiana, Wood Fox and Wallace were the organizing soldiers trying to protect themselves and others from the corruption and degradation that is most time covered by the prison wardens in a segregated situation. Trying to mend bridges is a difficult one when the privilege is given to the whites. Blacks in solitary confinement are trying to fight for some rights. Constant struggles day and night when the evidence is planted after the match strike. Diversion, confusion, creating the illusion that what is not. It's like being stuck back on the farm. Life is tough. It's getting caught between a hard place and a rock. Here is a place where survival of fittest is faced. Here is a place that operates as they did in the slave days. The bat breaking labor from dawn till dusk days. There's certainly some crazy ways. Inmates lie and they steal and they wheel and they deal. And I don't think they feel like in the case of King, who was duct taped and shackled up in a court of law by a judge. No one showed him some love. Is there no justice in the minds of the prosecutions? Is there no justice in the minds of the jury's and judge? Is justice truly blind or is color divine? They say that we ended those times. Is there no justice in the minds of the prosecutions? Is there no justice in the minds of the jury's and judge? Is justice truly blind or is color divine?
Good morning. This is Linda Olson Osterlund for a deeper look on KBOO Community Radio. I want to thank you all for tuning in this morning. We were listening to a song about the Angola Three, the topic of our show today, and that song can be found on YouTube. I'm sorry, I thought I wrote down the notation of who produced it. It's several hip-hop artists who are performing on it. It's a really great song. Just put Angola Three YouTube and you'll be able to find it. So thank all of you for tuning in to KBOO this morning. Our topic today is Herman Wallace of the Angola Three. Excuse me for one moment. Let me get that frog out of my throat. Herman Wallace of the Angola Three, he's been locked in solitary confinement for over 41 years this last April in the Louisiana State Prison in Angola, Louisiana. He's a Black Panther prison organizer and one of the longest held political prisoners this country has seen. He is the subject of the documentary Herman's House, which is really a beautiful documentary. A young woman named Jackie Sumel started communicating with Herman in prison and asked him to design the dream house of his in the mind. And then she began to have that constructed in different ways and did a documentary. You can also Google that, Herman's House. Well, he has now received a terminal diagnosis of liver cancer now. It's been a travesty and an outrage to have him in jail all these years. And now that he is very ill, Amnesty International has begun a campaign to demand his immediate release, an immediate compassionate release for Herman. And I'm going to give you all out there in an audience a chance to join that effort as we go on in the show today. My guest today is Robert King. I'm really pleased to have him here with us again. He's the only member of the Angola Three to be freed. He didn't escape, as Teresa wanted to make sure I let you know. He didn't escape from prison. He escaped from that aspect of the justice system by being freed legally. Released in 2000. And one, he has spent 29 years in solitary confinement before that. And he is the author of From the Bottom of the Heap, an autobiography of a Black Panther. It's a really great read. I have that book, and I recommend that you look it up if you want to. You can also look up my show where I interviewed him about that book. He's also the topic of the documentary film Hard Time, the story of Robert King, a remarkable man and the only freed member of the Angola Three. So thank you for joining me this morning, Robert.
Thank you, Linda. Good to be here.
I'm so glad to have you on again here at KBOO. Robert, we talked just a little bit about the case. Can you put the historic case in context for people? Just give them a brief outline of how it was that Herman Wallace and Albert Woodfox were accused of a crime they didn't commit and ended up in solitary. And you were also accused of a separate crime. What was going on in the prison system there then? You know, I say in my promotion on the air for this show that Black men are under attack by the U.S. justice system, and the struggle is heating up again. And I believe that that is the absolute truth, and that Black men have been under attack from our justice system since we had a justice system, but certainly since I can remember back in the early 60s. So if you can talk about the context of this case and how these men ended up in solitary confinement.
Yes, thank you, Linda. Of course, you have placed it in context already. I could just elaborate a bit further on it. Yes, Herman and Albert, the other two members of the Angola 3, I'm the third, and they remain in prison, but they weren't always called Angola 3. There were two men who were arrested initially on separate charges of armed robbery, and then later became affiliated with the Black Panther Party and became members. They were sent to Angola, state prison, in the early 1970, and there they put the prison in prisoners in a historical context. They witnessed labor in prison, where prisoners were working 17 hours a day at 2 cents an hour. There were inmate guards that guarded who were lauded over the prisoners. They were over security. They manned the gun, the towers, for prisoners attempted to escape, they would go on chase. They would even kill prisoners. They sold young prisoners to other older prisoners to be wives. It was a lot of killing going on, and the killing was instigated mostly by the administration, or at least allowed by the administration. Herman and Albert, having become politically aware, they decided to bring the ideology of the Black Panther Party into prison, and they began to teach along with a couple of other members and empathizers of the Black Panther Party, and they began to teach prisoners, both black and white, around the yard and organize units of resistance through passive resistance, that is, through hunger strikes and, passive means. And for this, as you can imagine, ultimately, there were political classes and people were learning how to deal with the prison administration and trying to correct some things, and they saw that they were making some headway in this. And I mean, even white prisoners began to, because the prison at that time was segregated, but there were ways in which people were able to communicate, and even white prisoners used to come on the yard and listen to their political classes that they had. And this was upsetting the prison to some degree. In any event, after all of this occurred, a officer was found slain in one of the dormitories. The first people to be examined, or the first people to be suspected of this crime was members of the Black Panther Party. And it was boiled down to four individuals, in which Herman and Albert were two. The other two men, Gibbon Montague, who was acquitted, and Chester Jackson, who pleaded guilty for lesser charge after being intimidated, which is another story. But Herman and Albert went to trial, and without any forensic evidence linking them to the crime, except for paid testimony by a snitch who was a known snitch, who was an enemy guard, who had a life sentence and was given a pardon as a result of his testimony against Albert. Initially, he stated that he pointed out to the officials that he knew nothing. He saw nothing and knew nothing. But later on, after pressure, he found something. He was promised a pardon. He was promised, even though he had a life without the possibility of parole, probation, or suspension of sentence, he was ultimately given a pardon. He left prison. He left prison with money in his pocket, and Herman and Albert remained in prison. He testified that he witnessed Herman and Albert attack this prisoner. No forensic evidence again linked Herman or Albert, or for that matter, either of the individuals to the crime.
Well, and as a matter of fact, the only fingerprints found in the scene, the prison refused to run. They refused to have those fingerprints examined because they knew they didn't match the people they wanted to convict. And to this day, those fingerprints were never run. Isn't that accurate?
Yeah, of course, that is accurate. In other words, the match did not, what they did, the testing, it did not match either of the people, actually, in which, even at the time, it was tested. But over the years, Len, I think it lost some of, I think some of the evidence got misplaced after some hearing, after a couple of decades or so. But initially, they had tested.
And it didn't match on.
It did not match. And additionally, of course, Albert had taken, they insisted that he take a lie detector test. And of course, we know in the state of law, it is said that this is something, you know, that is not used or utilized, but that is not true. We understand this. If Albert would have failed a test, but he passed the test. In other words, it showed no indication that he was guilty or at fault. Nevertheless, if had he failed this test, the jury would have known that he failed a test, even though they would tell you that this is not used for, you know, this type of...
Absolutely.
Know,
and as a matter of fact, this last February, once again, a judge, for the third time, I believe, Albert's conviction has been overturned. Is the state actively appealing that?
Yes, his conviction for the third time, twice by a federal judge. And the state, yes, has, instigated process or initiated process to appeal that. In fact, they have done so already, and it is being appealed as we speak by the Louisiana State Attorney General.
So what we see is a political prosecution, locked in solitary confinement. The different wardens over the years have made it clear that they have no intention of wanting to release, well, they don't want to release Herbert or Albert at this time. They certainly didn't want to release you. I mean, Herman or Albert at this time. And so now we have, this is 41 years in solitary confinement. I have to say, one of the things that I'm most impressed with is that Herman and Albert are so sane. You know, I've read a lot about solitary confinement, and people can certainly go to the website Solitary Watch. Solitary can drive a man insane in as short a time as 2 months, you know, or even 1 month. And it certainly is extraordinarily hard on the mind and the body over a long period of time. And yet, both of these men are still strong in their convictions and in who they are as human beings.
Yes, because then, you know, this is most likely due to their political convictions. I think the political ideologies is the buoyancy that keep them afloat. I know it was that kept me afloat during the time in which I was there, because I was able to put, my condition and what they were doing to me unjustly in a political, in a historical context. And Alvin and Herman, they are no different. They have done this and have been able to do this continuously. However, despite all of this and despite all of this time, the idea is now is crunch time. As you pointed out, that, you know, Herman has been diagnosed with liver cancer, and we are trying our best. And, you know, he has good merits. The case has been in the courthouse. His issues have been in the courthouse, has been laying for quite some time. We have reasons, so there has been a motion filed to get the judge to expedite, and hopefully this will occur. We are trying to either get him out of prison or give at least a compassionate consideration for a compassionate relief. However, the main question is to get him out of prison. All the evidence in his case has been undermined, as well as in Albert's case.
Yes, because it's the same. It was the same trial. You know, I'd like to take right now to go to some words from Herman. This is a poem that I found on the Angola 3 website and on the Amnesty International website. It is a poem that Herman wrote and read, I believe, and recorded in 2006. It's called A Refined Voice. I want to ask the listener to really listen carefully. It's not a great recording, so his voice sounds a little distant, but you can definitely hear the words. It's a refined voice. So we'll go to that for one moment, Robert.
If death is the realm of freedom, then through death I escape to freedom, which is a quote by Fran Fanon. The title of this poem is a defined voice. They remove my whisper from general population to maximum security. I gain a voice. They remove my voice from maximum security to administrative segregation. My voice gave hope. They remove my voice from administrative segregation to solitary confinement. My voice became vibration for unity. They remove my voice from solitary confinement to the supermax of Camp J. And now they wish to destroy me. The louder my voice, the deeper they bury me. I said, the louder my voice, the deeper they bury me. Free all political prisoners, prisoners of war, prisoners of consciousness. Herman Wallace, Angle 3.
And there you have it. That was Herman Wallace a few years ago when he wrote that poem and got to record it. So you can tell that we have a strong political presence in Herman Wallace, and he's now very ill. Liver cancer is also very painful. Do you know about the particular conditions he's living in right now, Robert?
As of now, yes. As of probably push from Amnesty and the collective voice of all the people in recent years and especially recent weeks, they removed Herman. He's no longer, by the way, Linda, he's no longer in Angola. He's at Hunter Correctional Institute, about maybe 50 or so miles from Angola State Prison, and he has been reclassified as of now. He is no longer in solitary, what they call solitary confinement. He's a medium custody prisoner, and he's in a dormitory, I'm told, with 10 other inmates.
Well, that's a relief, I believe, to know that he has company and people around him.
That is a great relief. But the greatest, again, as I say, will be getting him a compassionate relief, if not a total release. Having a judge to expedite his issues, which are very salient, because the court has already a rule that he should be given a new trial, found errors in his trial that were great.
Yes, and so Amnesty International has taken up the cases of the Angola 3 for the last several years and have been talking about it, but they're taking particular legal action now, and I do want to let you know that links to how to take this action are on our website at kboo.fm. Right there you can where it talks about on today's schedule, it talks about the Angola 3. You can just click. It will take you there where it says Amnesty International. It will take you there. I've also printed out some letters they have on the website, some letters that are from Amnesty International that you can add your own words to and send in. So for those of you who don't have a computer and who are listening and who want to take action on behalf of Herman, I will have the papers and the materials right here on the front desk for you. As a matter of fact, they're out front right now. I am very much asking you, every listener who has heard what you've heard yet this morning and knows that the right thing to do is have him released, is I'm asking all of you to take action today. Go to, if all you do is Google Amnesty International plus Angola 3 or just Angola 3, even if you don't go to our website, that should take you to where you are to be able to take action for Herman Wallace. It's very important that they hear as many. The numbers are going to matter. They like to tell you numbers never matter. And some people like to say clicking a button on a computer doesn't make a difference. But when you're taking concerted action with others who are taking it at the same time, it really can make a difference. So I'm asking you to all take those actions. And I'll repeat that later as we go ahead. You know, right now, while this is going on, the struggle around the attacks of our justice system on black men is really heating up. A few years ago, Michelle Alexander came out with her great book, Mass Incarceration, The New Jim Crow, and it's been making ripples ever since. The Trayvon Martin case, of course, there was the Oscar Brandt case where he was killed on BART in San Francisco, in Oakland, and there's a new movie out about that. But then Trayvon Martin's murder and the verdict that did not convict the man who shot him has also caused protests to, you know, spring up all over the nation. And then we have the Pelican Bay prison strike. Can you talk about this time in history? Do you feel like I do, like we have a chance for another upsurge to push back?
Yes, I think this is a good time in history. Like you outlined, all of the events that gone on involving prisons and solitary confinement and involving the system itself, including the Justice Department and so forth and so on. So, yes, we have to win. Like someone else had stated, we have to win at our back. And it is the time for the climate, the political climate is there. It's in the air. And, you know, I'm a firm believer of cause and effect. If you throw a pebble in a pond, you get a ripple. And I ain't thinking that this, what we are seeing now then is a ripple effect of all that's been going on with the collective voices over the years that has been focusing on issues like this. And it's just coming to fruition now. Those pebbles in the pond has created a wave, and I think we need to continue. We need to let our voices be heard louder. We, you know, on a collective basis, and we should be persistent in this. Yes, I think that the events, the stuff that is going on around solitary, especially around prison, solitary confinement, and about justice, about you know, blacks, the history of blacks in this society, and how the system deals with them. I think that is a good thing, because you know we see, Linda. Many people think that, and I agree with Michelle Alexander, who heartily, and it's something that, you know, been being said for some time. You know, slavery has really never ended, especially for black men in this country. When you look at the prison system and how it is erected and ran, not just for black men either. Prison has expanded. Because now you're the cross section of people who house the prison. Of course, disproportionately the blacks and brown do so, but now it is a big thing, and it is slavery on by another name. And I agree. Putting it on another a broader plane, prison is slavery by another name, and it is out there. And I think we can uproot it. I think our voices. And the noise that we make regarding this will not just focus the attention on it, but it can eliminate it.
Well, and I think it's really important that we not allow ourselves to have the you know, the point of view that they're in prison, they must have done something wrong, therefore somehow they deserve whatever's going on in prisons. Or if we hear about how bad it is, we kind of try to not think about it too much because, gee, what would I do? But I think we can't afford to do that. We can't afford to have a society where we take a huge section of our population and disenfranchise them and torture them in solitary confinement. And because it's so much often affected by race and other factors, often those who are in solitary confinement aren't even those who've committed the worst crimes or the most danger to anyone else, including other prisoners. They're just sometimes the ones that are the most difficult for the administration to handle. It could be a young man with ADD, an oppositional defiant disorder, because he grew up in a really difficult home, and that'll be all enough to destroy his life. I think that we need to not allow the marginalization of our brothers and sisters, whatever color they are, and whether or not they've ever committed a crime or not. There are, of course, heinous crimes that, you know, we have to deal with in different ways. But, you know, the majority of crimes are property and those kinds of crimes, or even just using drugs. It's self-abuse if you want to consider it abuse. But we need to just recognize the humanity of our brothers and sisters locked in prison. Now, right now in Pelican Bay, I believe it's day 18. I printed out something, day 18 of the hunger strike. It's certainly well over 100 days of hunger strike with our brothers in Guantanamo. So I want to extend our reach to even them. Yes, care about them. We have ways of categorizing people that make them somehow someone we're not supposed to care about. But if we have a moral center, we can't be for solitary confinement. That's my stand on it. We have to oppose it.
Well, I agree. And in order to validate slavery at the time when Chattel they had to demonize. They had to make it seem as if every person in prison was bad or criminal. I concur with you, but there also need to be said that there are many people, not all, but many people in prison who are there not because they committed a crime, but they pled guilty to a crime in which it was coerced into doing so. Now, the prison is full of individuals like that.
Well, and individuals who just had a hard life and made the wrong mistake. You know, I mean, people do things wrong. That's why we used to rehabilitate in prison, or we used to believe in rehabilitation to give people a second chance. And certainly we know that the way crimes are handled is racially biased. We know that throughout our justice system. We've had all the facts, and we know it here in this city. So I want to go back to what we want to do for Herman. You say right now they've got it before a court. The request is in court to get him released on compassionate release?
Yes, and I'm also told that as we talk now, there will be a status conference to determine whether this compassionate release is granted. I am told this. So, yes.
They're going to have a hearing? You said they're going
to... Yeah, I'm told that there will be a status here, a status conference to determine whether this could happen. That is with regards to the compassionate relief. But mm-hmm. then there's two lenders, another deal. They can actually rule on his writ and you know, expedite his issues and grant him relief. And he could be released from prison. At any time.
So they could do this.
That could happen.
And so
is... Will it? I don't know.
Yes. Is he receiving visitors in the prison that he's in? Is he being able to see others and people like...
Yes.
Do they allow you to visit him?
I am persona non grata. they won't allow me to go unless a court order. I can go. We have a civil suit together. And I'm a part of that civil suit where a court had ruled my 29 years in solitary confinement constituted cruel and unusual punishment. So for that reason, I can probably have a conference with Herman and Albert providing the lawyer's request an order from the court. Other than that, I cannot see him. This happened only once. It could happen again. I don't know.
You know, there are some other actions that people are taking here in town. I know of two young women that have taken up posters that one says, "Who's Herman Wallace?" And then down on the bottom it says, hermanshouse.com. And then the other one says, "I'm Herman Wallace." And once again, at the bottom says, hermanshouse.com. So if you're walking around the streets and you see this sign, "Who's Herman Wallace?" You can also make your own signs like that. You'll see more of those appearing. We really, really want to get attention to Herman. The movie Herman's House is what that's referring to, and that website is also supporting action to take care of, to get Herman released as soon as possible, and that is my main goal for the show. So I want to repeat that I do have letters here that you can fill out and sign and send in. I will send them in for you. For any of you out there who do not have, don't think you'll be able to get it, I'm now going to read you an address. This is a way that you can actually write Herman directly and, you know, let him know that you are also taking a stand with Amnesty International to support his release. These kinds of things really make a difference to people. So it would be addressed to Herman Wallace, and then it would have the number sign, number 76759, and then the letters SNU/CCR, and then the next line is EHCC, P.O. Box 174, St. Gabriel, Louisiana, 70776, United States. And that's how to reach Herman Wallace. All of these things have links to them on our website. I want to thank all of you for listening. I'm hoping that you're all taking action. I want to thank you, Robert King, for being with us. We're going to go out with the Angola 3 song. We'll be thinking of you, all of the Angola 3, and working hard to get Herman Wallace out of prison.
Thank you.
Thank you.
is most time covered by the prison wardens in a segregated situation. Trying to mend bridges is a difficult one when the privilege is given to the whites. Blacks in solitary confinement are trying to fight for some rights. Constant struggles day and night when the evidence is planted after the match strike. Diversion, confusion, creating the illusion that what is not. It's like being stuck back on the farm. Life is tough. It's getting caught between a hard place and a rock. Here is a place where survival of fittest is faced. Here is a place that operates as they did in the slave days. The bat breaking.
And good morning. You are listening to KBOO Portland, 10 o'clock. And coming up next, Air Cascadia with headlines, interviews, and commentary with Chris Andre. At 10:15 today, Flashpoints features investigative reporter Jeremy Scahill, author of Dirty Wars. We'll hear a speech he gave at the 2013 Socialist Conference in Chicago a few weeks ago. At 11 on Between the Covers, host Ren Green interviews actress and author Julia Sweeney, known from Saturday Night Live and her one-woman show, about her new book, If It's Not One Thing, It's Your Mother. And at 11:30, Jen Chavez and SW Concer host The Film Show, which features news and interviews about the independent film scene in Portland.
Where is your radio dial on Thursday afternoons from noon until 2? 90.7 FM is the place to be. Twice a month, DJ Charlie presents the World Beat Connection with the hottest Afro-Caribbean sounds in Portland radio land. Reggae, salsa, soca, New Orleans Afro-funk, Haitian compa and rara, and Antillean zouk share the airwaves with African high life, Afrobeat, Congolese soukous, Malian blues, juju, and South African kwaito, among the other great styles. Traditional and modern expressions are all included. On alternate weeks, check out Top Rank in Reggae and Dancehall with Shocks of Sheba show, hosted by Teresa and Michelle. Any week, Thursdays at noon is sure to move you.